Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This is Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Charles Pellegrino, the author Charles Pellegrino, who's going to take us to 3,700 years before now. Charlie is the author of Return to Sodom and Gomorrah, which contains episodes we're about to explicate. Charlie, a very good evening to you. 3,700 years ago, the North Sea, there was a large town. This is the Levant today, but in those days it was a series of interleaving trading towns. A large town that disappeared in an instant. It is today known as Tel Hammam. The speculation these many years is that the disappearance was caused by an extraneous event, something extragalactic. Perhaps an asteroid. What can you tell us about the evidence for the disappearance and what is there today? Good evening to you, Charlie.
Good evening. Good to be back. There's an article in the September 20th Nature. Whole team has been working on this for many years. The evidence is pretty compelling. You have trace elements that are actually kind of echo you would get from a very interesting kind of meteorite called a carbonaceous chondrite. It's a very iron-rich, a very carbon-rich, stony meteorite. And if it's coming down into the atmosphere, over 20,000 miles an hour, it's very likely to explode before it hits the ground. And that's pretty dangerous. In 1908, we had one that detonated over Tunguska in Siberia, and it was the power of 15 of your average hydrogen bombs. It was 15 megatons, and this was in that range, maybe even a bit more powerful. Instantly melted pottery and released all these elements. We call them platinum group elements that we find in stony meteorites, and the people we have from this city, they have found skeletons that were instantly disarticulated and fragmented. And it would have been at that spot with the temperatures from the evidence we have climbing up over 20 times the boiling point of water, which is much hotter than iron emerging white hot from a furnace. And everything was just flash melted, and then blasted apart. Tremendous, tremendous explosion. Interestingly, just as you have the story of Lot's wife turning into a pillar of salt, this was so close to the Dead Sea that tremendous amounts of the salt water were evaporated and became like a veneer over the remains of the city and made the ground uninhabitable in that area. For maybe 200 years, plants would not grow there.
Let's talk about the physics. As an asteroid approaches the Earth, it is a rubble pile moving 14 kilometers a second, 12 kilometers a second, very quickly.
Yeah.
And
I mean, miles per second.
The theory is that if it penetrates the atmosphere, it will dig into the ground or dig into the ocean and cause disruption in all directions, hence the dinosaur. But in this instance, is there evidence that the asteroid, about how big, hit the ground, or did it dissolve in the atmosphere? Did it explode in friction?
Well, from the effects we see on the ground, from the flash effects and so on, some of it might have hit the Dead Sea, probably not much of it. It probably mostly detonated and disintegrated maybe as low as a mile or two above the ground. Its size would have been probably comparable to, if you imagine, 3 or 4 of the Eiffel Tower put side by side. Only much more mass than the Eiffel Tower.
So we're looking at it striking the atmosphere.
This was one of those things that was definitely bad.
We're striking the atmosphere, and then it drives what into the ground? What hits the ground that could destroy a city?
What hits the ground is, first you have this tremendous flash effect. It's every bit as bright as a very large hydrogen bomb detonating. Just the radiant heat from it penetrating the atmosphere at that speed, penetrating down to a mile or two above the ground, and then it detonates. So you have this tremendous flash which can turn pottery into molten glass, form a layer of molten glass, maybe a quarter inch thick over everything out to several miles, and then you have the airburst that hits just like a giant hydrogen bomb going off. And you have this tremendous blast, a blast wave that basically any people within about 10 miles of it would have died instantly just from the flash effects. It would have been enough, just the light passing through the body would have boiled the brain, boiled the blood, and before they can even fall to the ground, the blast wave hits and just shatters them.
Tunguska leveled a forest. Is this bigger than Tunguska?
This was bigger than Tunguska, and Tunguska knocked people to the ground 40 miles away.
There was a similar event at Chelyabinsk, Russia, in 2013. It missed the city, and I believe it drove into a lake. That was a much smaller event, and something hit the ground in Chelyabinsk.
Right. It was a very dramatic explosion. It was caught on film from many different angles. And that, compared to this explosion, was just a baby. That one, most of it burned very high up in the atmosphere, disintegrated on the way in.
This asteroid, presuming it's an asteroid and not a comet, would there have been any warning?
No. This one was, you know, if we're talking about something that's at the diameter of 3 or 4 Eiffel Towers, it's something that you would not have seen it as a point of light in the sky during the night as it was approaching the day before. The first indication of its arrival would have been a bright light in the sky.
What would that have done?
It's actually entering the atmosphere. That's the first indication.
If it had struck the Dead Sea, would it have boiled it away? Is it big enough to rip a hole the way Yucatan was ripped apart 66 million years ago?
No. This thing, as what happened in Russia in 2017, was a baby compared to this. This asteroid was a baby compared to the dinosaur killer.
So Tunguska is smaller in 1908. Chelyabinsk is a splinter, and this was sizable, hence the wiping out of the city. Now, and you say that
it could wipe out a city 20 miles away, this one.
And there's reason to believe the story in the Bible of Sodom and Gomorrah is based on this event?
That this could have been one of the cities that's described in the Bible. And if you read Plato's description of, you know, the only real source we have on the Atlantis mythos and the Egyptians, which were writing everything down at this time, and if more than 1,000 years later, Plato is hearing this story of the Egyptians were telling his ancestor, who wrote down what the Egyptians told him, that you Greeks, you remember, your history is short. You remember only one catastrophe where there have been many destructions that you don't recall. And so there was, at around the same time as this impact, you independently had a tremendous volcanic eruption, the eruption of Thera. And you also, about 300 years before that, you had an earthquake and a tremendous fire in what is now Iraq. And these are all stories that the Babylonians and the Egyptians would have been writing down and became part of their mythos.
All right, let's go to the Mediterranean and Thera. Charles Pellegrino, the author of Return to Sodom and Gomorrah. The event we start with is in the Dead Sea Rim, wiping out a city and leaving only remains excavated by archaeologists. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
What if every student had a tutor and personalized learning was available to everyone? What if every family had a financial guide and their investments made for an optimistic future? What if every doctor could diagnose you in seconds and healthcare visits felt more personal? What if your business never slept and every customer's shopping experience felt like it was designed especially for them? It can with Agentforce, the powerful AI from Salesforce.
I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to the Wealth Break Podcast, a real conversation about finance.
Let's be honest. Building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone.
I feel like sometimes being broke is a cycle and that we might have to revisit that.
And we're not stopping at success stories.
What happens when it doesn't go right? How do you cope with it?
Because wealth isn't just about money. It's about creating a life where you thrive and help others do the same.
Listen to the Wealth Break podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.